You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. This is Ethan Westerman filling in today for Matt Jones. On today's show, former Arkansas big man Kamani Johnson will join me. He was at Saturday's game against Texas Tech in Dallas, and he'll talk about this year's team. And then Christina Long will join me in the studio to talk about the Arkansas football team and the latest reported coaching additions, and then what the team will need to be looking for when the transfer portal opens in January. But first, a word from Kendall King.
Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back in. Really pleased to have former Arkansas big man Kamani Johnson on the show today. He was inside American Airlines Center for the big win Saturday against Texas Tech. So excited to get his thoughts on what he saw. But Kamani, first of all, just thanks for hopping on.
No, of course. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, I want to get, first of all, just what was that experience like at the game Saturday? Seemed, at least on TV, like a pretty Arkansas-heavy crowd.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of funny because nothing's changed. I mean, you know, everywhere we go, we travel well. We were calling it Butt Wall and South. So that's kind of how it felt in there. The energy was high. I mean, you could see it on the court. The guys were ready to go. You could hear it probably over the TV. It just felt like Butt Wall and South, literally.
Yeah. Did you see any familiar faces? Not talking just the locker room, but just like, you know, fans, maybe.
Yeah, of course. Like that. Of course. I mean, every time I show up to an Arkansas game, I see some people and fans that I know and just have relationships with and built relationships with over the years. It was just good to see everybody. It always feels like a homecoming or a family reunion anytime I'm around anything Arkansas. So,
yeah, I saw the video of you in the locker room afterward. Obviously, there was a big hug between, you know, you and TB because y'all were teammates. And then it looked like you knew some of the other guys too pretty well.
Yeah.
What are those relationships like?
Yeah, I mean, like Cal, you know, I've Kyle's known me since I was super younger, and being in that New York, New Jersey area, I've known DJ Wagner since he was super young too. Like, we kind of grew up together, and you know, Carter Knox, his brother played at Kentucky. So, you know, it's really a family vibe. Anytime I'm around there, that's literally like family to me. So, you know, anytime I'm around those guys, we have a pretty good relationship and a pretty good rapport.
Yeah, specifically TB, since that's the one that, you know, we saw the big hug. Just what have you thought about his growth? I mean, obviously y'all were teammates, but now what's it like being, you know, outside looking in a lot of times and just seeing his growth of his career and how he's playing right now?
Yeah, I mean, TB's a special player. Like, I don't know if, like, people forgot. Maybe because, you know, but I mean, TB, and you guys can see it, like when he's locked in and he's focused and he's playing aggressive, he is a matchup nightmare out there. So, I mean, we all know what kind of player TB is. He's a pro, just flat out a pro. So that's Trevin Brazil for you right there. Like, everybody kind of seen it, and I don't know if people forgot, but, you know, that's not like surprise to anybody who's been around TB. So that's the TB we need for sure.
Yeah, do you see any, like, change of, I guess, maybe mindset or something with the maturity that comes with him getting older?
Yeah, I think he's just older now. I mean, he's always been a dog. I mean, you know, we've been to war with each other. I know exactly what kind of guy he is in the trenches. He's always been a dog. So now I think he's just mature enough to know, and he's starting to become in his role, like, this team needs me to be a dog every night. So I think, you know, that's really important for TB. It's always great seeing him, like, grow up. Like, it's crazy seeing him now. I mean, I remember he was, like, super skinny, lanky, coming into Arkansas from Missouri. So it's just crazy to see him, like, grow up now.
Yeah, what was his mentality like, if you can remember, just whenever he first got in there, you know, being a little bit smaller? And, you know, obviously whenever you're underclassmen, you haven't gone through it all the time yet. But what do you remember about him when you first met him to maybe what you're seeing now?
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, when he, like, first came, he was, like, a little shy. Because, you know, when you come from an SEC school, it's like we were going to war just last year. But it's like, nah, I mean, he fully embraced the culture, and we fully embraced him into the brotherhood. And it's like, man, like, TB is a true hog, like through and through. Like, there's stuff, you know, like, only players know, like, when we're on the court and through the battles and stuff. But, man, TB's a dog. So, I mean, nothing's really changed too much. I think he's just gotten older. His hair changed a little bit. That's about it.
You mentioned it that you've known Coach Cal for a while. Of course, your older brother, Dakari, he played for Coach Cal at Kentucky. So you've seen the Coach Cal recruiting experience. I mean, even just being in the home, up close and personal. You know, everybody talks about Coach Cal as a recruiter. So having been someone who you got to see, you know, obviously your brother get recruited and go play for him, what do you remember about that? At least maybe what's different about Coach Cal when you see him in that space than maybe what everybody else thinks that he is?
I ain't gonna lie, like the Cal you see is the Cal you get. Like he's really like all about family. He probably not gonna come in there and tell you what you want to hear, but if you want to be a pro and you want to have a long career, as you see a lot of guys in the NBA, you know, that come under that Cal coaching, you know, they've had long great careers. I mean, he's one of the best basketball minds out there. He doesn't really, like a lot of coaches do, like it's like night and day, but with Cal it's like you get what you get. I think everybody who knows him knows, like, it's a family vibe. It's a family atmosphere. And that's kind of his special thing, you know what I mean? Like, that's what makes him stick out a lot more than different other coaches.
Yeah, I've talked to some former players at Arkansas who did not play for him, and even some of their parents, and they said that they've been impressed with the way that Coach Calipari's talked to them and told them that they are really a part of the family. And they said that, you know, a lot of coaches will say that, but it felt pretty genuine when he said, you're genuinely a part of this. For you, what's that been like as a former player? Like, obviously, you have the pre-existing relationship with your brother, but, like, it seems like that's been taken to another level just with that you were a former Razorback, that maybe the way he talks and treats you and has you in the locker room afterward, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, when it got announced, some of the former Hogs was like, yo, like, are we going to be good? Like, what's up? I'm like, yo, you guys literally have nothing to worry about. Like, I think this was like a perfect marriage. Arkansas's fan base and the program and Coach Cal, just like the way that they both, like when it was announced, I was like, wow, like this is gonna be great. So all former players, excuse my language, get your ass down to that hill, support the team, support the program. You know, Cal, it's family, so you ain't gonna have no problems on that hill while he's down there.
Yeah, you showed up for his introduction in Fayetteville in 2024. And you know, what made that something important for you to be at? Because I mean, that takes some time out of your day. And I remember it was a rainy day, not the most ideal. Yeah. Like you get told what time this is, and you made sure that you were there to watch him get introduced. You know, what made that important to you?
Like I said, I mean, Cal has changed my family's life through my older brother. So I mean, Cal's family, you want to show up for your family. He's always showed up for us. Even like to this day, he texts my brother and checks on his kids and shows up, because that's just the kind of guy he is. So when people show up for you, you should show up for them. That's all how I was raised. So it was super important for me to be there that day.
Yeah, obviously a big win for the team on Saturday, you know, getting that revenge from Texas Tech and the previous Sweet 16. Just after seeing them up close and personal, just kind of what are your thoughts on this team?
Yeah, I mean, that game, I kind of seen a team like grow up. It felt like, right? Like they grew up. This is a complete team. Like you never know who is going to come from or where it's going to come. And these guys have, like, I mean, if they play with energy and aggression, it's going to be a hard team to beat. Like they're a really, 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 really special basketball team. That's what I've seen. So I really want the fan base to really get behind this team. I think I know how Bud can get. I think we all know how Bud can get. So I really want the fan base to get behind this team, because that's a special basketball team, what I saw.
Yeah, for sure. And it seemed like they got that support at least on Saturday down there in Texas.
Nah, for sure.
It's cool to see the way they travel, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Texas, I mean, there's Arkansas Razorbacks all around Texas. I come to Dallas often, and I know we have a big alumni base here. So, I mean, it really felt like home here. It was crazy.
Yeah. Real quick, want to ask about, you know, under Coach Musselman, kind of the way that he built his teams, like, it was drastically different each year personnel-wise. I mean, just the way that he brought transfers in. He recruited, you know, maybe more. You know, you see Coach Cal recruit like 8 or 9 guys that are going to be in his rotation. Coach Musselman would sometimes recruit, you know, down 12, 13, but, you know, some of those guys didn't get to play much. But it's just different how they kind of put together their teams. Arkansas this year, it's different because they actually, you know, in this era where there's a lot of transfers in and out, rosters look different. They have a real core from last year with those returners and transfers in the mix. But as someone who has been through with, you know, under Coach Musselman, the how you have to adapt with a new roster, because you were a guy who stayed with them and had a lot of different teammates. But now for these returners this year that are in maybe the same similar shoes that you were in, and you have two like real stud freshmen come in and two transfers that are pretty good, like that takes some adapting. I guess what would be your advice to fans that maybe along the way, like, you know, there are the growing pains of watching a team adapt, but like from a former player's standpoint, like what does that take to get to where you are really the unit that you want to be by the time March rolls around?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule, you know, that told me everything I needed to know about this team when I saw that schedule. That means that the coaching staff really believes in this team. So just having wars like they did last Saturday, like tough games. And we might win, we might lose, but those games are going to what builds you wins in March. Like, I remember our seasons, we would lose some of those games, but it had us so ready in March when we were ready to, like, it's like you're not shocked by going into war and you know who you're going in the trenches with at that point. So it was the schedule told me a lot. And just with this team, like, they're gonna be fine. I think they'll be fine. I think the main focus, and I can't stress it enough, is the fan base just get behind them, because like you said, we do have freshmen and confidence is everything. So, you know what I mean? I will say, like, during the regular season or whatever, don't focus on the wins and loss, like stay behind them and rally behind them, because for those guys, confidence is everything. So, you know, they're going to have fun. They're going to win. They're going to lose. But during March, they'll be ready. I believe that.
Yeah. What do you think it does do for this team, though, having that core, at least, you know, DJ Wagner, Carter Knox, mm-hmm. Trevin, and then Billy Richmond, too? Like, how it, like, because that's so rare now, but what do you see, like, just the importance of that?
Yeah, guys that are battle tested, guys that know, and, you know, some guys that have bad taste in their mouth for how their season went. So, you know, it's always good to have that extra energy, extra boost, extra guys you can lean on in those tough games. And, I mean, the roster is built beautifully to me. Like, I really like this team a lot. So, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be good. Yeah.
At least, you know, of course, they've put together some really good wins recently with Louisville, Texas Tech. You know, what do you think is maybe the next step for this team to just go to the next level?
If you
pinpoint something.
Yeah, I know how the internet works, right? So I know these other teams are watching everything and everything's going in that bulletin. But I'm going to keep this answer close to the chest, because I'll be down in Fay. You know, I have a good relationship with those guys, so any advice I have for them, I'll give to them. But, you know, I know these SEC teams be watching, so I know how that goes.
Kind of a fun question here. I want to ask you, if you could choose one player on this year's Arkansas team that you could throw on y'all's roster for those back-to-back deep tournament runs that y'all had, who would it be and why? If you could just pick one of them, plug them in there.
Oh, man. I mean, there's so many good people on this team. I mean, Darius is insane. Billy Richmond, I like Billy a lot. But honestly, TB, you know, that 2023 team, we lost TB early in the season. He was, like, a really key piece for us. I've always believed, like, he was kind of our X factor into going to a Final Four maybe. So I'd say TB. I'd love to have TB. Just a healthy TB for sure.
I like that answer. That's a good teammate answer right there. A few quick questions to wrap up on. You know, whenever your name comes up now, like, it's different than it is for all former players. Like, you have a big, warm reception among fans, Kamani. Like, they love you. You know, what do you think that you did during your time here that makes you be someone that the fans remember so fondly? I mean, you throw the word Kamani Johnson out there on the internet, and Arkansas fans are just, you know, swarming, saying we love the guy.
Yeah, I mean, so I went to Euler first, right? So I was in Little Rock to grow up. I always felt like I came to Arkansas boy and left a man. I mean, I feel like they just watched me grow up, and I've become like their adopted son in a way. And I've always embraced them, always, you know, and they've always supported me through my ups and downs. And I mean, the love I get from Arkansas, I always tell people, like, anywhere I go on the world, like, anywhere I travel, I'm literally, like, telling them about Arkansas, trying to get people to come and experience it. Because before I went, I literally had no idea about it. And then I, like, fell in love with the state. And it seems like the state fell in love with me. So, man, I just can't say enough about Arkansas and what the support means to me and my family.
And the fans are probably curious too. Like, what is Kamani Johnson up to these days, other than going and being the locker room guy after a big win?
I make clothes now. So I have my own fashion brand. I'm in the fashion world and doing some media stuff for the podcast soon. So when stuff rolls out, you know, I'll be sure to make sure everybody's tuned in and tapped into everything. But and then I'm gonna do some nonprofit stuff actually in Arkansas soon. Coming up, so I'm super excited about that, to, you know, help the community that I feel like helped me raise into the young man I am. So definitely be on the lookout for that.
I'm about to say, let us know when you're over here, and we'll go out there.
I have to come into the studio. We'll have to get another one in.
We got a beautiful seat right next to me. I don't know if you can see it right now, but it's got your name on it. It's waiting for you. So
don't threaten me with a good time, man. if you need a co-host, man.
All right. I will take you up on this, Kamani. This has been fun, Kamani. Thanks again for hopping on and doing this.
Of course. Appreciate you. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. And when we come back, Christina Long will join me at the desk to talk about Arkansas football. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back in. Want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. Serving its community since 1971, Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. Looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas? Looking for skilled craftsmanship? Choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or at bentonvilleglass.com. Joined now by Christina Long to talk some Arkansas football, because we haven't talked enough of that recently. It's been all we've talked about, I feel like, since November 30th, and honestly, way before that, since the firing of Sam Pittman. Just first of all, it was going to be who's the head coach, and now it's trying to figure out who of all these assistant coaches who are being reported are actually going to be here and in what roles, because there's been a lot of them reported recently. Silverfield said that the hires would blow fans and media away. Maybe that's the case for some people. They've been just blown away. Maybe that's not been the case for you. I think I'm somewhere maybe in the middle, where there's been some that's been like, wow, that's a pretty good hire. And then there's some I'm like, I don't feel a certain way about it. I'm curious with you, of the hires so far, which ones have really caught your attention the most that could be closest on the spectrum of I'm blown away?
It's funny. I've been thinking about this because Matt and I talked about this a little bit early last week, where it was we kind of mentioned that he said everybody would be blown away. And it's like, okay, I don't know who these people are. And then I was trying to think of the other angle of that, which is, who could they have hired that would have blown me away? I honestly don't know. I don't know what name could have dropped that I'd be like, oh, wow. You know, I guess it was just like, if it was like a sitting SEC offensive coordinator or something, like that wasn't really going to be happening. I am not pressed about any of these hires. I am not, I'm skeptical of some. I'm mainly in kind of a wait and see, because I think some of this is, we don't know 100% what role people are going to be in or exactly what their role is going to look like. You know, they've reportedly hired two offensive line coaches, Marcus Johnson from Ohio State and Jeff Myers from Memphis. Are those guys, you know, is one of them going to be working with the interior guys and one guy working with the outside guys? Maybe one is just offensive line coach, the other is assistant offensive line coach. We don't actually know, because none of these hires are official yet. I imagine we're going to get one big sort of info dump when they've actually got everything signed. Yeah. And all of these are officially official. I think the other thing that's been kind of odd in the last couple of days was all these DBs coaches. So a secondary coach, Daron Wilson. Is it Darren or Daron? I always read it as Daron. Okay. Yeah. He was here before, and I honestly don't know if I ever actually got that clarified when he was here before. Yeah. Safeties, C.J. Wilford from Georgia State. Corners, T.J. Rushing from Auburn. And corners, Eddie Hicks from Cincinnati. Yeah. So with the two cornerbacks coaches specifically, it's unclear to me if that means – so Rushing was reported first. That was like a week or so ago. It's unclear to me if that means that's no longer happening, or if they're going to have another guy who maybe, you know, I'm sure one of them might have the title of cornerbacks coach and one might have a different title. We don't know. But these are two guys who have coached cornerbacks before. One thing to note, and I put this, I've got a list on our site at wholehogsports.com of where we're kind of tracking all the hires that get reported. A lot of these are coming from Matt We also don't know if it's Zenitz or Zenitz.
I've been saying Zenitz.
I heard somebody from CBS say it, and I immediately forgot how they said it.
He's got the Silverfield Hire scoops,
though. He's got them all. And then there's like one from ESPN and one from our friend Brandon Marcello. Most of these are CBS Sports. These are people that are typically very reliable on these things. That's why we are willing to kind of publish off of what they say. They have reported a whole bunch. Again, none of them made official, but one thing to note is that only 10 assistant coaches, so 10 plus your head coach, can go off campus to recruit. So that's one thing. You can hire an unlimited number of on-field coaches. There used to be the rule where you could only have a certain number of people actually giving instruction in practice or during a game, and they did away with that, I think maybe last year. And so we'll kind of see these staffs look a little bit different than they have in the past. And I think one thing, you know, when Hunter Yurecek talked about the new and significant financial commitment to Arkansas football, he talked about how the evidence of that would be in the staff hires. And I think we all took that to mean, oh, they're going to get some big name or they're going to pull some big fish that's going to cost a lot of money. And I don't think that necessarily has to be the case. That's what I thought he meant. And it's become clear that that's probably not what he meant. But I think they more mean that the salary pool for coaches is going to be higher, the number of coaches and the level of coach that they're hiring in terms of you're having more guys that are kind of working with players one-on-one as opposed to like some analysts and things like that. I think they're still going to have plenty of analysts. But I think maybe that's more where we're going to see the evidence of how they're spending more on their staff. It's going to be a bigger staff.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of like whenever said blown away, I'm starting to realize I think maybe it's more in the coaching world sense of like these are some really highly respected people than in coaching circles. I think that maybe where he went wrong was saying that fans and media would be blown away.
Yeah.
Because I don't think fans and media were very aware of. There's some of these we were aware of.
Yeah.
Like I've heard of them. But there's a lot of these that I mean, I just feel like if you're maybe in the football trenches at the coaching world, like these are names that really are respected and are names that maybe stand out more. I personally feel like there's been some of these that, you know, you read more about them and you're like, okay, they're probably a good recruiter or they have some history here, but there's none that have really been like the blow me away, which I'm with you. I'm like, I don't know who would have, like, who could you have hired? And I would have been like, wow, that is incredible. Like, I honestly feel like Sam Pittman's first staff with like Barry Odom was way more of the
Kendall
wow.
Browse, that was pretty notable. Yeah,
like, those were more blow you away than these.
Yeah.
But I guess that maybe what he meant was, especially Hunter Yurecek, was the investment that they're making to have all these positions. And with the new general manager, I don't even want to try and pronounce his first name. Gaiska Crowley.
Okay,
That's how I'm going
to
guess.
We're going to have to find out when he gets here.
Gaiska Crowley. I think that's the most logical way to pronounce it. He seems to carry a lot of respect as far as like people who know him are like, you can always tell whenever it's a place that is losing a coach, how they react.
Mm-hmm.
In Arizona, how they've reacted about losing him and others in the industry, it seems like that was a really big get. A few others that maybe stand out to me. I honestly do think TJ Rushing, who's reportedly going to be cornerbacks, one of the four defensive backs coaches we've, and we don't know, some might be analysts or whatever, like Eddie Hicks, who was reported last night, the Cincinnati cornerbacks coach, he gives me more of the vibe of maybe this is an analyst because he's done that a lot, did it at LSU. TJ Rushing gives me like, he'll be recruiting and stuff because he was formerly a head coach at one of the Georgia schools, I think Georgia Southern. He was just at Auburn. That one kind of impressed me because he was a good head coach at Georgia Southern. Arkansas fans should be familiar with him because he actually brought in Sam Pittman's second year his Georgia Southern team here and played. And they had some like solid teams those years. It weren't great, but he has head coach experience. I think that obviously you expected some of these Memphis people to follow with him. Those are not going to blow anybody away because it's just the same reaction I feel like as Silverfield is just an extension of him.
One that I'm interested in is the Clint Trickett quarterbacks coach hire.
Yes.
That got reported, I guess it looks like the 13th, so over the weekend. Because Tim Kramsey, the offensive coordinator that Silverfield is reportedly bringing from Memphis, he coached quarterbacks at Memphis as well. So it's, you know, and that's obviously very common with offensive coordinators also coaching quarterbacks. He's somebody that has experience with that. I'll be interested how much they share that, assuming both of these hires go through. And Clint Trickett, he has been Jacksonville State's offensive coordinator this past year. First of all, great name. Clint Trickett, yeah. it's just like a nice, I don't know. It's a nice name.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people know him, which I never actually watched this, but a lot of people know him from Last Chance U. He worked at East Mississippi Community College and was featured pretty prominently in that series from what I've heard. So people know him from that, from Netflix from a few years ago. He was a quarterback at Florida State and then at West Virginia. And he was West Virginia's starter in 2012 in his last year, or sorry, 2014, his last year of college football. So he's a guy that I'm interested in. He's a pretty young coach. So I'll be curious kind of how they split up those duties with him and Kramsey, assuming they're both here.
Yeah. There's, like I said, none of these have been actually announced yet. There's some that you do more digging on, and I think you can find some things to be excited about. It just wasn't, for me personally, the whole blow me away. But there might be some people out there that they really are.
I'm not mad about any of these. Yeah. None of these make me go, this is ridiculous. There's some that I'm skeptical of, but none of them that make me go,
I look at it and I say, this is a football staff.
Yeah. This I think I was going to do that pretty much no matter what.
Yeah. Let's shift focus. You know, while all this coaching, you know, reported assistance coming and all this is going on, there's also obviously the player personnel side of this where there's a lot of Arkansas players who have announced they're returning. There's a few that have announced that they'll be going in the portal. You know, whenever you kind of sift through those right now, you know, what do you think are the most important areas, at least seeming right now, that Arkansas, once the portal opens in January, it's like, need to go fill up there?
You need some guys in the secondary.
Yep.
For sure. I mean, I did a little bit of rough math earlier today because I knew we would be talking about this a little bit. And, you know, you've got, what, I think five guys that start, pretty much all five starters in the secondary that are not going to be back. And so, you know, some guys that contributed here and there that will be back. I just think that it's not ideal. And I also think even if you were getting more of them back, it's not like they were doing very well.
Yeah.
You didn't have a lot of guys you could rely on. Julian Neal was their best player. He's gone. And the other guys in the secondary were really hit or miss, mostly miss. And so I think one thing that we talked about a lot, you know, especially Matt has harped on this a lot, is it seems like they didn't spend enough on defense last year and they kind of tried to do more with less and it didn't work. Sometimes it works, it didn't. And so I think, you know, if especially they're bringing in a bunch of defensive backs coaches, I'll be interested the profile of player that they get and whether it's guys that are coming up from lower levels, you know, if they try to get some guys that have SEC playing experience, things like that. You know, they have some young guys they might feel good about, but I think the secondary is going to be depleted enough that they need to go out and get some guys that are ready to go now. I think you obviously always want to have some development. I think there's, again, some guys that are promising, but I think you're going to need some guys there for sure. And then I think the defensive line is kind of the same way.
Yeah, and recruiting D-backs is always interesting to me in the portal because, you know, people put a premium on, like, really good interior defensive linemen or really good defensive ends in the portal. Defensive backs, if you look at any team's roster, take up so much, like, roster space. It's just there's a lot of them. And so I think that DBs are one of the positions that in the portal you really have to do a lot more research because there's so many that are end up in there. And it seems like this past year, Arkansas maybe just kind of sometimes settled for finding a guy who didn't pan out at another school that has a logo that you recognize. Mm-hmm. But other times it was just like, it just didn't seem like they really got any high profile other than Julian Neal. He was touted coming out of Fresno State, Stanford, whatever you want to say. But it felt to me like DB-wise, Arkansas just didn't really get any big fish this past year. It was just kind of people who have some experience. And that's why a lot of them are going to be gone now. They like found guys who were in their last year.
And this has gone just based on eligibility. I mean, we don't even have that many guys yet who have said that they're going to enter the portal, and we're expecting to see several. So that's just based on people whose eligibility is expired. And then I think, you know, the defensive line this year, that was the topic of all the lead up to the season and the early season was the lack of depth. And that you're going to have to solve that problem too, because all it's done is gotten worse basically, because you lose Cam Ball. You get Ian Giffrard back, but how, you know, he needs some development. He needs to do better. And then you need to have some depth for him too. You know, obviously we talked about getting Quincy Rhodes back is huge, but so the other side is open. You know, Charlie Collins is expected to be back, I guess. I don't think he's said for sure,
yeah,
but he's a guy you know, he's not out of eligibility. So I'm just going off of assuming they have eligibility, they could be here, right?
Yeah.
And so if he's back, you know, he's somebody that maybe you put over there, but you need more than just those two. So I think defensive line really is, honestly, the whole defense, because the linebackers too, your top two linebackers are gone, and you're excited about Bradley Shaw. If you're able to keep him, you feel good about that. You've got some other young guys that, you know, Travis Williams and that staff did a good job recruiting, you know, high star linebackers. I think they have several 4 stars from the last couple classes. If you can keep them, if you want to keep them, can they play? Can you develop them? But I also think maybe you need somebody that you can plug in right away that you know can play, that has done it somewhere else. So honestly, the whole defense is going to be somewhere that I think we see a lot of additions.
And this isn't something revolutionary. We're going to know this financial investment by what they get in the portal. And it'll be interesting to see if they pull some names. Like, I know Texas had a really good linebacker that went in the portal yesterday, who it kind of shocked me. Blanking on the name. He started a lot of games for him. But it's like, are you going to be able to get guys like that? Mm-hmm. Or are they going to go choose other schools?
Which doesn't have to be bad, but is a, you know, it's always a risk. But when you're going from somebody that's coming from, it's the same way we talked about with coaches. When you get somebody that's coming from a lower level, you're just not 100% sure if they can play in the SEC. Sometimes you'll be right and sometimes you'll be wrong. Yeah. And I think they were more wrong on the defensive side of the ball this year than they were on the offensive side of the ball. You know, like Mike Washington, that was a hit. Rohan Jones, that was a hit. Defense, some of those guys weren't hits, or they were okay, but maybe you needed more from them, and you needed more consistency. And so they have to have that. And that's where, you know, that's another thing with all these assistants. Hunter Yurecek really emphasized that they want a better scouting department. They want more robust operation there. Do they have that right away? Can they get that? And will we see returns on that as early as this year?
Yeah. Talking a little bit more, we'll go back to coaches real quick. We had today reported Travis Williams. He is apparently going to take a staff role at Texas A&M coaching linebackers, which is what he did at Arkansas while being defensive coordinator. You've had Eric Mateos, the former Arkansas offensive line coach. He's going to coach at Wisconsin. Morgan Turner from last staff, he's being retained here. Just those. Are there any other former staff members right now that were on that last regime staff that you really think maybe could be in demand from programs based on what they did at Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of difficult because I think coaching is such an interesting world, because like we were just talking about with the hires that Silverfield is bringing in, sometimes it is about who you know and who you're connected to, and that can get you, you know, a fan or a reporter might look at a team's stats and go, well, their defensive backs were really bad, so he must be bad. Yeah. But there's other things he's done in his career, or there's things that people know about him that makes them attractive. So I think it's a little bit difficult. You know, I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but I'll be really interested in what Bobby Petrino does next, if anything, right away. You know, maybe he takes some time off. I don't know. Ronnie Fauch, I think, is somebody who could have put himself in good position. I think, you know, whether he continues to follow Petrino around, depending on what Petrino does next, maybe he'll be able to get on staff somewhere else. You know, some of these, we'll see. I mean, the other defensive coaches that got dismissed, I mean, Marcus Woodson is a little bit older, but I think he's a guy that has, you know, he's got ties to different staffs. He's been around so long. I'm sure he'll land somewhere. Deke Adams, I think, was a good recruiter, so we'll see kind of what that gets him to. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of always interesting to track is where some of these guys end up, because sports turns out to be a pretty small world sometimes.
I'm really interested about Scott Fountain personally, because it's not like
he was here so long.
Like, the Arkansas special teams had obviously some issues every year, but his resume in general, it's like
he can walk into the room and go, Cam Little,
Jake Bates was my backup. I had recruited Scott Starzik, the number one kicker in his class. Like, he's a great recruiter and he's gotten those high end recruits. They had a good punter this year. It's like, it's crazy because they had some issues on special teams, but like those very key positions, he has a great track record for. So I'm curious with him, because he's also really well regarded as just...
And he's been all around the SEC.
And they know him as a good recruiter just in general too, especially the state of Alabama, I know. He's somebody who I could see an SEC staff for sure picking up soon. But it's just interesting, whenever all this shakes out, just seeing what happens with those former guys, because, you know, you never know when down the road one of these people who are randomly an assistant on an Arkansas team, like even just for a short period of time, are like, elevate to a really, you know, defensive coordinator somewhere. And then the next step is head coach. It's just cool always to see how it shakes up. I know Eric Mateos, a lot of people wanted to see Arkansas retain him just because of what the line did while he was here as far as improvement. He's one that I could see maybe down the road. We'll be hearing more about him. But, yeah, I've definitely found it interesting today that Travis Williams going to A&M, because that's the one that he's well-respected, but obviously, like you said, the stats and stuff
Right. And the report was interesting. It was a report from Pete Famel early this morning, and it said, you know, he'll coach linebackers, and then his title's not clear, and it might include like some other responsibilities or other role, which I was like, what does that mean? But we don't, again, all these staffs, until it's official and they have that title next to their name, you're not 100% sure what their job's going to be with some of these. But yeah, so it seems like linebackers, I mean, that's been his forte. And so I'm not surprised to see him land on his feet. I think Texas A&M is maybe somewhat of a surprise, but I mean, he's always been, like we talked about, a good recruiter. He's a good guy. I mean, he's just a good guy to talk to. I imagine he interviews really well. I imagine people he's worked with and for really like him, and that sticks with him. So yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to track. And same thing with players, where players in the portal end up. You know, Simeon Blair, a former Razorback who went to Memphis, is now expected to be an analyst on Ryan Silverfield's staff. So you kind of got to keep guys in mind and remember when they've been here. And it's always kind of interesting to see where people end up.
Yeah, and I'm sure for somebody like Travis Williams, that, you know, for Texas A&M, like, he won enough recruiting battles with this Arkansas, like, with the state that Arkansas was in, you know, just from wins and losses standpoint. He won enough recruiting battles that it makes you think that, you know, he's probably well respected from SEC coaches, at least at minimum, as a recruiter. Before we get out of here, just want to talk some news and notes around college football. You had a Heisman ballot.
Yes.
Did it go as your ballot?
No.
Projected? Okay.
Not dramatically. So I put Diego Pavia 1 and Fernando Mendoza 2 and Jeremiah Love 3. So it was slightly different. I don't begrudge anyone that voted for, that picked for Mendoza. I did not think like he doesn't deserve it. It was really actually hard to side between two, but I ultimately went with Pavia and put Mendoza second. I figured Mendoza was probably going to win, but you don't vote based on who you think is going to win. You vote based on who you think should win. And I voted for Pavia.
Yeah. And this was a really weird Heisman race. Like, I feel like as far as like recent years, they usually have one or two that, like, the year before we had a really interesting one just because it was like comparing two different great players. Like, you really couldn't. It was one that played two ways with Travis Hunter and was good at both of them. And then there was Ashton Jeanty, who was just setting all sorts of records. That was like a hard head-to-head. This year just felt like a weird, like, all these guys are good, but, like, do you have a real star?
It didn't feel like
star?
One of them was, like, crazy, so much better than everybody else. Yeah.
There wasn't one that got the Heisman love all year long.
Yes, agreed.
There wasn't one that, like, by week four, everybody's, like, throwing the Heisman next to him. I thought that this year, I was kind of with you. Diego Pavia, what he meant to Vanderbilt was, like, they are not the same team without him. I mean, obviously Indiana's not the same team without Mendoza, but it's hard to compare because it's like one had a team that did what they did. And I mean, Vanderbilt had a great year too, but it's just whenever you're comparing all these different players for best in the nation, I feel like you just got to go with your gut, probably a lot of
the
time.
That's kind of what I went for. And then I think Indiana's going to win the national championship, though. And I want to talk about that. I want to have you on Friday. I was going to text you about this later. I want to have you in the studio Friday when I'm in that chair and we can talk a little bit about the playoffs. So
we'll switch chairs.
Spoiler alert, I think Indiana's going to win.
Last thing, you know, I guess we'll probably talk more about it then, too. But just right off the top of your head, college football playoff matchup you're most looking forward to.
Ooh,
first round.
That's a good question. I'm interested in Alabama and Oklahoma just because of the rematch of it all and the SEC of it all. I feel like the SEC games I'm always most interested in because I know the most about them. I've gotten to see them the most and kind of heard the most about them. So I'll be watching that one mostly because I think they match up in an interesting way. And then again, the kind of revenge factor. But honestly, there's some really good games in here. I don't think there's one that, even the ones that people are, you know, nobody's expecting the group of five teams to win. Like Ole Miss Tulane, I'm really interested in
it'll
that.
It'll still
just
be on my
the
TV.
Narrative. There's so much narrative in that with the coaching situations that they've both gone through. So I'm excited. I think it's going to actually be a pretty fun playoff, even though I know people are mad about the group of five thing, which is dumb. Let them in. Let them do it. Anyway.
I'm with you. Alabama OU, though. If Venables has had Alabama's number, and so I'm interested to see if that continues. Well, want to thank you for tuning in today. Reminder, there's a men's basketball game tonight at 8 p.m. against Queens. We'll be back with another show tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll talk about that game a little bit. But until then, you can visit our website at wholehogsports.com for the latest Razorback news and analysis. Have a great day, everyone.